Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio Live, this fourth day of March 2024. I expect to be joined by Keith Rogers today for his commentary, where Keith, a very savvy guy with a streak of cynicism. Big story we begin with. The Supreme Court has unanimously ruled states cannot disqualify Trump from the 2024 ballot. Washington, D.C., Colorado cannot disqualify former President Donald Trump from appearing on the 2024 ballot. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled unanimously Monday, today. In an historic ruling, the Supreme Court said only Congress can disqualify a candidate from the ballot using the 14th Amendment Insurrection Clause, overturning a 4-3 opinion in December from the Colorado Supreme Court that the provision prohibits former President Trump from appearing on the ballot for the presidency in 2024. Now, the Colorado Supreme Court had obviously not done their homework or deliberately ignored the history of this amendment, because that particular clause applied to officers, soldiers of the Confederacy. Soldiers of the Confederacy.
I'm on the air live. I'll call you back.
Indeed, even after its passage, some 35 former Confederate soldiers were elected to Congress. Not only that, but of course, as the American Thinker was publishing post January 6th, there was no incitement and there was no insurrection. And this whole thing is completely contrived and manufactured by the Democrats, just has been their multiple lawsuit bringing 91 felony charges against Donald Trump. I mean, it's a legal atrocity. It's a political embarrassment. But that's the best they can do. That is the best they can do. So they're sticking with it. They're going to do their best. Here's a lengthier report from the Epoch Times. Supreme Court rules Trump to stay on ballot in unanimous ruling. High Court ruled states cannot afford Section 3 to remove a presidential candidate one day ahead of Super Tuesday. Wow. That would be tomorrow. The Supreme Court ruled that former President Trump cannot be removed from the ballot by individual states, overturning a Colorado Supreme Court decision that found him ineligible as a candidate and disqualified from the state ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Responsibility for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates rests with Congress and not the states. The judgment of the Colorado Supreme Court, therefore, cannot stand. The per curiam order reads, all 9 members of the court agree with that result. The order was issued March 4th, just a day before more than a dozen states hold their primary elections. I'm joined by Keith Rogers. Keith, this is very significant, but also totally unsurprising. I find it rather embarrassing for Colorado that their Supreme Court should not have done better. In fact, the U.S. court had even ruled earlier that the meaning of the word officer, which had to do with those who had served in the Confederacy, did not apply to the president. So this was all manufactured, as you may have heard me observe. Your thoughts?
Well, Jim, good morning to you, by the way. I think a lot of this applies to the January 6th event. We now see that they're starting, a judge is ordered to start releasing some of these January 6th prisoners that weren't in breach of any congressional interference. We know that Nancy Pelosi set up a lot of that stuff. She denied the National Guard to show up, which Trump had even suggested there. But their whole story has fallen apart, especially there if you watch any of these Senate hearings, Ray Epps, all this stuff, the feds being involved. So to me, it's just massive election interference.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. Absolutely. In fact, General Milley, who turns out to have been an anti-Trumper all along, has acknowledged he deliberately delayed responding to Trump's request for their military to respond to January 6th. He deliberately withheld. So I think Milley was part of the equation. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer orchestrated this with the FBI and with the mayor of D.C. to have a contrived case to use against Trump. Keith, this is so embarrassing. And what kind of a democracy is it where the states can pick and choose which candidates can appear on the ballot? And by the way, we may have a second ruling coming today. Supreme Court ruling on Trump ballot case could come on March 4th. Oh, well, let's say Colorado and Maine. I'm thinking they're going to rule about whether Trump is immune from lawsuits for actions he took in the performance of his duties as president of the United States. And, of course, the oath of office he took, swore to uphold, you know, oversee the faithful execution of the laws of the United States, which obviously include election laws. Every action he took on January 6th appears to have been consistent with that. The phone calls to Georgia also appear to have been to ensure that the laws were being faithfully administered. I have no doubt, Keith, that they're going to unanimously rule that he's exempt from prosecution for actions he took in his official capacity. Because think about a floodgate that would open if they were to allow this to occur. As Lyndon Johnson said, every time he made a decision, he antagonizes, half of the country. There'd be one lawsuit after another piled up against a president. The courts would be overwhelmed. It would be completely unmanageable. It would be a colossally bad move. It's got to be rejected unanimously, I believe. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Jim, it's kind of funny here because, like I say, whenever Trump was for any military action overseas or like that, boy, everyone's alongside of him. But when it comes to domestic stuff, you can sure tell, like I say, this is all elections tampering. The fact that this government is so paranoid that the people find out anything about what this government has been up to, and of course, in our names. That's why Julian Assange sits there languishing in prison, you know. We see right from the start that they did not want Trump back in there because, for all intents and purposes, like that, Trump wants to do something for this country here, only Trump's biggest problem is these bankers and stuff, because my only drawdown to that is from now to November to the elections like that, I don't know if this country is going to survive, Jim, because like Florida just put 200,000 homes up on the block for sale and stuff. I mean, the retail housing market is collapsing. We know the financial system's collapsing, and they keep pumping in these immigrants, and immigrants are getting $20,000 for a four-person family, $2,200 a month. I mean, they're bankrupting this country, not only for the immigrants, but also for the illegal wars. that have been waged in our names again with the start of Ukraine. We have what's going on in Gaza. Plus, we have the biggest cover-up in history is now the COVID thing. I mean, it's like three different genocides going on right now. And so they need a massive distraction right now, which I notice they're trying to really push this thing towards China again, because more and more people are realizing the sheer death toll numbers of those that were vaccinated, you know. It's anything to keep I'll call it this. It's a patent place. The news has become patent place. Like, we're supposed to worry about the sex lives of someone like that. But kind of like Gerald Celente would say, who in the F cares, you know? We're supposed to be sitting there with a nail bite in front of a TV watching about the lifestyles of the rich and famous like that. And it's all a distraction to the actual point that the wheel is about to come off on this government. And it's all been because of pushing this green agenda, WEF stuff, you know, the fake climate change, all this stuff. And it's all imploding. And they're getting desperate to keep America's attention focused on something else.
Keith, I think you're right now. Unsurprisingly, Nikki Haley has won the presidential primary in the District of Columbia. Now, recognize that D.C. regularly goes 95% Democrat. Now, of course, this is a Republican primary, but get this. Sunday brought former South Carolina governor and U.N. ambassador Nikki Haley her first win over Donald Trump in the 2024 GOP nominating contest. Haley took home just 62.8% of the vote compared to Trump's 33.3%. Since Haley received over 50%, she takes home all 19 of the district's delegates. But it seems to me 33%, you know, breaking for Trump in the District of Columbia is very significant and disturbing for the Democrats. Haley's team will undoubtedly hope to carry Sunday's momentum into Super Tuesday, which is this Tuesday. 15 states and the territory of American Samoa hold their nominating contest then, when over a third of the delegates up for grab will be distributed. Your thoughts?
Well, D.C. is a seat of corruption. So if she has a win there, you can tell. In one of your other shows, it was either the Real News one or the Raw Deal, where you were talking about Nikki Haley's financier, some billionaire, yeah, stuff like that. So the point is, they don't want Trump in there because Trump wanted to, and I hope that he still does, didn't want to bring America into any more wars. And, of course, Nikki Haley out there, she frosts at the mouth about Russia, China, all this stuff like that. And she pushes the same narrative that CIA Mike Pompeo does, you know, the American exceptionalism and stuff. You wouldn't have so many countries around the world that are divesting to go to BRICS had not the United States been running a fair game, I guess you can call it. Because you have to realize, Jim, every time you place sanctions on a country, you're destroying its economy. Once you destroy its economy, you destroy its labor force and stuff. And so people seek work elsewhere. This, and, of course, with I believe I sent you that photo images of Israeli arms sales, 30% of which goes to Latin America. And this fuels the MS-13 gangs, the drug lords, all this stuff like that, you know. So it's a major catalyst for driving people out of their area to America to become a new tax base for the American IRS system like that that has us all held hostage, you know, to fund all these illegal wars and stuff, of which, of all of those, none of us are ever asked for our input or say on anything. It's just that the United States is going to do this and that. Place sanctions on, you know, they never look at the repercussions, just like the interest rates and stuff that we're having to pay now, as well as those people can't even pay their mortgages and stuff, but they're required to pay taxes, and then they hire 80,000 IRS agents with guns to go out and enforce their tax codes and stuff. And again, none of this stuff is done in our names because we don't have a say in it.
Yes, 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 yes. Hey, here's further indication of the Democrats' attitude toward democracy if they don't guarantee themselves a win. A.G. Garland calls voter ID laws unnecessary.
Of course.
Speaking on Sunday in Selma, Alabama, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland decried efforts by state to implement voter ID requirements as discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary. He spoke at an event at the Tabernacle Baptist Church to commemorate a 59th anniversary of Selma police officers attacking demonstrators in the civil rights movement. Keith, how is it discriminatory other than between those who are qualified to vote and those who are not qualified to vote? I mean, he's trying to imply it's somehow discriminatory against minorities. But that implies falsely that minorities are incapable of securing ID. I think that's just ridiculous. It's been claimed before, but just silly, burdensome. You have to have ID to buy alcohol or tobacco or to drive a car and all that. I mean, this is ridiculous. Voting in our national election may be our most precious possession and opportunity and right as a citizen. And when he says unnecessary, that's just to deny the massive voter fraud that's taken place, which he, I dare say, has encouraged, aided, and abetted. I find this guy despicable, and I'm so grateful that he was not appointed to the Supreme Court. The man is utterly unfit for public office, Keith.
Well, you know, he's a member of the tribe, and the tribe is all for the immigration. They're the ones that actually back, you know, but other than the United Nations with their forced immigration, that they're the ones pushing this massive immigration. I don't know if you've heard of Rabbi Davidson in his speech over there in New York. I can send you the file on an email there and you could play it if you want. But the fact is they always bring up, especially during these Senate questionings, whether it's Mayorkas or Garland, they always bring up that their family member or something like that was part of the Holocaust, and it's always just, you know, that's to shut down any conversation. We have that Jewish activist bring down Boston to stand still over immigrant detention. Again, why is it that the immigrants are being treated so much? And, of course, why are they being in detention? Are they here illegally, or is it because of the crime and stuff, and they want these instantly released back on the streets there? You know, so – you know, if people can't see, you've got one certain group that's sitting there trying to destroy America, bankrupt America. It's supposed to be somewhere going to be adding like $1 trillion a month to the national debt. And of course, if you haven't reindustrialized your country, your GDP is going to sink like mad. This is moving right into this communist collectivism, which, of course, a lot of Jews are connected to through this communism, you know.
Just to extend Garland, then I want to return to your point about sanctions. There are many things that are open to debate in America, Garland declared. One thing that must not be open for debate is the right of all eligible citizens to vote and to have their vote counted. He didn't define by what he meant by eligible, but I dare say having a voter ID seems to me to be an indication that you are eligible, not having a voter ID. I mean, the massive theft of elections, it goes by mail-in balloting fraud, for example. A new study showed that in 6 swing states, it was mail-in ballots that were illegitimate that swung those states to Biden's column rather than Trump. And that was based upon reports from the voters themselves of having committed improprieties or illegalities. They admitted during the survey they had done so, and it was 20% of the voters, which was more than enough to make the difference in those swing states. So what the hell is the Attorney General of the United States doing saying we don't need to have a voter ID? I think that's ridiculous. It's fundamental. Other nations do so. No other nation allows mail-in ballots because they're so known to be used to steal elections. Just an addendum, a footnote about sanctions. Yes, But the sanctions on Russia have backfired. Russia is now doing better. The ruble is stronger. BRICS is becoming more powerful. The U.S. has suffered the consequences, Keith, from all these moves that we've made intended to punish Russia. It's actually wound up punishing Europe or even the United States.
Well, again, the pluralism in there, you know, like we, you know, it's not us. It's well, you know, if you look up Biden's minion, that the majority of Biden's White House are all Jewish. This is right from forward.com. They, you know, they actually boast about it. If we say anything, it's, oh, it's supposed to be anti-Semitism, you know. By the way, you might check your email for that video there. But that's where Rabbi Davidson talks about getting rid of ICE, opening the borders up. And this is a rabbi, and he talks about the plight of the Jewish people and stuff like that, you know. But anyway.
Keith, you can play it. You go ahead and play it right there from your end, if you like, that we can, just so we can hear it.
I tried to do that before, remember?
Oh, okay. Let me see if I got here.
But again, like I say, this is who's behind all the immigration and stuff, and they don't care because Americans are paying for it.
Joshua Heschel, great social activist who marched with King, once asserted, "We are a people in whom the past endures. Our oppression in Egypt lives within us. Our exile, our expulsion, our isolation, our internment, all inform our Jewish identity and our Jewish commitments. If we take that identity and those commitments seriously, we cannot regard the human tragedy unfolding on our borders, the horrific conditions to which migrant families seeking better lives for their children have been subjected, with anything less than moral fury. And now we are informed that Sunday, Immigration and Customs Enforcement will undertake additional efforts in cities around the country, including New York, to pursue the undocumented. Our sacred narratives and historic experiences call upon us to respond, whether by participating in any number of rallies, including one downtown tonight, by volunteering with immigrant justice groups, or by writing members of Congress. Yesterday, I and three other of New York City's senior rabbis, informed by our deep conviction, rooted in Jewish and American values, that we must love our neighbors as ourselves, sent the following to the New York Times. We are outraged by the deportation raids reportedly scheduled to begin in New York City on Sunday. These raids will terrorize our friends, neighbors, and families in the immigrant community, and they risk separating parents and children. Local law enforcement must refuse to participate or assist with these ICE actions. New York City has long welcomed immigrants from around the world. We won't stop now.
All right.
Sure.
All right, Jim. I sent you one more. If you take that in context, what he's saying right now, and apply that to what they're doing in Gaza, about the, you know, I mean, it's pure doublespeak.
Okay. I got it here.
Okay.
Oh no, I can.
No,
I can. Thank you. What's your name?
No.
Are you guys? Who are you guys with?
No.
Jewish Family Services, so there we go. That's one of them. So why were you telling people not to talk?
Because you're being rude to them.
You're in a free country now. Yeah. Don't let people like this tell you what to do, okay? You're in a free country now. That's what America is, a free country. Is there anyone here from your organization that can talk to us? They're calling somebody. I'm sorry you guys have to see this. Unfortunately, a lot of the organizations that are pretending to help are just making money. These guys make money off of your suffering.
Well, and of course, what these organizations are doing is destroying America, and they're trying to make it out as though it's the morally right thing to do to bring in endless numbers of immigrants. It's just stunning.
All right, Keith, Jim, go back to 2001 with, go back to the Gulf War in 91. And look at what happened through the entire Arab Muslim world of destroying city after city after city, like that, causing mass migration. And where's it going? Well, again, remember Netanyahu there at the UN holding up that little greened out map there of the greater Israel. They're moving millions of people out. And where are they going? Well, Europe, America and stuff. So we're having to take the burden of the greater Israel.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, there's so many bad things to this. And, you know, that Merrick Garland would say we don't need voter ID. He's going to be all for illegals voting, too. I mean, the Democrats like that. One of the major motives appears to be to increase the number of Democrat voters after Trump wiped the clock, cleaned their clock in 2020, but by my estimate, earning over 100 million votes to 37 million for Biden. So they're going to try to change the equation, but this is also the Cloud Pivot plan to, you know, overwhelm our social welfare system, where every economist understands you cannot combine open borders with a welfare state because it's unsustainable economically. So, and I dare say this is a Jewish plot. I have no doubt about it. And to have this rabbi, this Davidson, you know, acting as though it's a moral imperative to bring in these illegals to destroy America. That's just disgusting, Keith. Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, there's another one, too, where they were talking about the one voters in Michigan there, how I forget that stupid comedian there. But anyway, I try to ignore those guys. But anyway, he was trying to equate Biden losing all these voters and stuff. And the gal who she was, or he was talking to, she implied that the voters are pissed off at Biden because of these electronic vehicles. But in fact, it's because Michigan is a highly Muslim area, and they're pissed off at Biden for the genocide over in Gaza. And they're trying to distract everyone from that, see?
Well. The electric vehicles have been a calamity. Their day has come and gone. The major manufacturers who committed found they had millions of these cars no one wanted to buy. Meanwhile, Toyota, which went the hybrid route instead of the full EV route, has been making billions because they're selling like hotcakes. And everyone who takes a look at engineering know that a hybrid is far, far superior to an EV. We'll be right back with Keith Rogers.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Yeah. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Keith, I got Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson on with Judge Napolitano talking about who's going to use nukes first. This is pretty disturbing stuff. We certainly need to talk about it. Let's listen to part of their conversation.
Folks.
First, we got to beep over the commercials. They're putting everywhere nowadays. It's almost
every generation.
There we go.
First, 2024, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson joins us now. Colonel, a pleasure, my dear friend. Thank you for your time and for your thoughts. We have some very hot topics to discuss today. Certainly Gaza, but I want to start on Ukraine. And I want to bring you to statements made by two heads of state in NATO. First, President Emmanuel Macron of France, and then Chancellor Scholz of Germany. And then I will ask you for your comments on them. Let's do President Macron first, and then we'll talk about him.
There is no consensus today to send ground troops in an official, endorsed, and sanctioned manner, but in dynamic terms, nothing should be ruled out.
An official, endorsed, and sanctioned matter. I suppose that's diplomat speak, with which you're familiar from your years running the State Department, to we can do anything we want with the special forces. We're just not going to get a declaration of war from the National Assembly, France's parliament, and not going to announce troops in uniform, or am I wrong?
I like to think that what we're hearing right now, not just from Macron, but from others too, is very studied, if you will, positioning to make negotiations more palatable to the West. But I'm not in any way, fashion, or form assured that that's it, because I have seen so much blind stupidity and so much what I would call just stark insanity from these leaders, from London to Paris to Berlin to Washington, that I don't credit them with that much skill to try and build ground upon which Putin is, you know, trembling a little bit before they go to negotiations. So I've got to take it for what it's worth.
But are his words at the end telling us that he might do it anyway? He's not ruling it out.
I can't imagine he would be that much of an egotist, that arrogant, that much inclined to say, well, I'm the leader of NATO now. All the rest of you go to hell or follow me. I'm going into the cave. Follow me. I just can't believe he would be that audacious and that stupid. Was he put up to it by us? That's a possibility. Was he put up to it by a triumvirate of Berlin, London, and Washington? That's a possibility. I don't know. I really don't. I can't crawl into his head. But I, as I said somewhere else today, the famous French nuclear deterrent, which they used to call the frappe de puissance or something like that, they now call the frappe de dissuasion, the dissuasive power, would get lost in one of Putin's silos.
Here's Chancellor Scholz of Germany saying the opposite the next day, and I'll elicit your comments, but it makes one wonder if the Germans didn't feel the need to negate the impression given out by the clip we just saw from President Macron. Here's the Chancellor.
NATO is not and will not be party to the war.
That remains the case. We do not want Russia's war against Ukraine to become a war between Russia and NATO. We agree on this with all our allies. This also means no German participation in the war. To put it bluntly, as German Chancellor, I will not be sending any members of the German armed forces to Ukraine. Our soldiers can count on that, and you too can count on that.
I know Donald Trump very well.
Chaos follows. Nikki Haley adds, naked in there.
Ah, but might he send German special forces to blow up the Crimean Bridge?
Good question. I think his comment is strictly based on his perilous position within his domestic political context. And Macron gave him a chance, if he was in on the conversations about who will say what when, in order to put Putin on it, on the qui vive for the negotiations coming up, if that's really what they're doing, trying to position and make the ground a little more palatable for the West, then he's the odd character out. But it's an odd character out based on his political context. The Social Democrats are slipping majorly. And the elections are not too far away. And at any moment, his government could become untenable, especially with the alternative for Germany pushing the polls up the way they are.
Do the heads of state...
Keith, let me just say, I don't think Macron was put up to by the U.S. or the triumvirate of D.C. and Berlin and London. I think he's acting as a stooge of the Rothschilds. I think that's who he is. He's a World Economic Forum, you know, young leader. He's completely spineless. He's a guy who has no principles whatsoever. And I think it's that the Zionist Jews are willing to precipitate a nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia in order to promote their agenda. They wanted Ukraine to be the new Israel. They have lost that. I believe that part of why Netanyahu is being so vicious and sadistic in the slaughter of the Palestinian people. He wants to do house cleaning now. All dead are expelled. Egypt, sad to say, has taken a $10 billion bribe to create a tent city in the Sahara. Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. It ain't going to work. Palestinians know if they leave, they're never going to return. We have this wonderful barrister, Ralph Wayden, before the International Court of Justice, explain how if you go back all the way to the League of Nations mandates regarding Palestine, there could be Palestinians were declared their entitlement to a Palestinian state and the right of return, and that Israel has no legal justification for its existence as a state. He was brilliant. I think they're in a huge quandary. And you know, I think the title, who's going to use the nukes first, is a good question. I have a supplemental question to ask you about that, too. It seems to me that the West had been so nonchalant about the massive Russian nuclear arsenal, their hypersonic weapons and all that. Are they counting on some very sophisticated lasers? Do they have a Star Wars scenario where the directed energy weapons can shoot down these missiles in fractions of a second? Your thought, Keith.
Well, first of all, let's go back to France. Macron is an idiot, period. When COVID started, all the mass riots of the yellow vest and stuff. So he wasn't doing anything for his countrymen or any of that stuff like that. In fact, he was sending out his NKVD-style troopers to beat the hell out of the French like that. And then we have that new leaked German audio, which it's the German military commanders bypassing their own government, talking about how they're going to take out the Crimean Bridge and also these supplying these larger weapons to mileage-wise to strike inside of Russia. And Medvedev over there said, and Lavrov too, by the way, both said that it seems like the Germans are worried more about where the leak came from versus the fact that it's basically an undeclared, a declared war on Russia now from Germany.
Yeah.
And then they gave the history of what the German people have done every time they come up against Russia. And then also we have this FSB that totally liquidated six ISIS members. And of course, everyone should know that ISIS is a CIA front anyway, you know. And Mossad, too, by the way, because remember, even ISIS apologized to Israel when they struck some target like that, you know. But anyway, they are desperate to get this going. And don't forget now that Biden had ordered $200-some-odd million worth of these anti-radiation pills. So a lot of this has all been in the works and stuff. And again, has America ever been the people? Have we ever been consulted about, do you want to go to war with Russia or something like that? And again, we have Jamie Raskin, the congressman, who, by the way, happens to be part of the tribe, who says that today's Russia is an Orthodox Christian country and it must be destroyed for that very reason. It's no different than the war on Palestinians, the war on Muslims, the war on Christians. You can read in the Israeli news all you want about how the settlers are always attacking Christian churches. When Israel was doing the bombing in Gaza, they were taking out all the Greek churches as well as hospitals and stuff. All that violates the Geneva Convention, by the way. No one can seem to get him in check. And this morning I watched the judge with Alistair Crook talking about Israel's behavior and that no one seems to be able to get into check. But apparently there are some mass vacations of spots within Netanyahu's government now that realize that there might be some war trials coming up here for what they're doing. I have that video called Ants. It's where an Israeli drone is surveilling an area of all these starving Palestinians, and it looks like ants from up where the drone's at. And then they dropped the bomb on the people congregating for food. They killed 100 and some odd and injured another 70 some odd, you know. But yeah. These are absolute war crimes. It's collective punishment, all that stuff, you know. And the world is going to call them to account. And even that stupid Kamala Harris come out with that lame video about calling for a ceasefire now, and it's all dog and pony show. They're going to let this thing go on, and it's sad, but like I say, or like the German poet once said, you know, first they came for the Palestinians. No, first they came for the unvaccinated, then they came for the Palestinians, you know. I didn't speak up like that, you know. So when they start coming for Americans through their immigration policies and stuff like that, when are Americans going to wake up?
Keith, what do you see as the multiple threat posed by the mass immigration illegals here into the country? I'm just interested. I've talked about it many times. I'm just eager for your take.
Well, I believe that what we're seeing right now, if you recall the book Germany Must Perish, the idea was to destroy Germany, and of course, doing that sever the pipeline between Russia and Germany, which they claim is Russia's some enemy like that. I don't believe that, but anyway, Russia's the largest gas station, so they had to stop that. You have the Eastern Mediterranean pipeline, which is from Israel, the Leviathan oil field or LNG field, and like that. We have the U.S. and Syria stealing oil, sending it to Israel. We have all these wars in the Middle East like that. It's all a resource base like that. But the Eastern Mediterranean pipeline was to supply from Israel LNG gas and oil to Europe. And so, you know, take it for what it is like that. And then we have that 1974 secret pact that the United States has with Israel, that the United States would supply all of Israel's oil needs and stuff, even that over above Americans. And so what is this unholy alliance that the United States has with Israel? Well, a lot of people that I know say as well, it's because of the mass war crimes that the Allied forces covered up during World War II, the 67 Japanese cities that were bombed, in which Robert McNamara exclaims later in his film there, Fog of War, that it would have been as if 27 million Americans died. We have the 50-some cities in Germany that were left pulverized by Allied terror bombings and stuff, you know. And so, and then, we had the Eisenhower-Rhine POW camps, where the POWs are reclassified as enemy combatants and starved to death, you know. So a lot of this has gone on for decades to cover all this up, and you're only supposed to worry about the plight of the Jews, of some Holocaust. And, of course, I've heard your rendition, which is fairly accurate, you know. But when the Allied forces, the terror bombings, as a matter of fact, I have David Irving's book, The Bombing of Dresden, which is pretty interesting. But anyway, when they started taking out the ports, the rails, the roads, and stuff like that, that's when the massive starvation started cropping up, and, of course, disease with the typhus and stuff, you know. But, again, a lot of this has been a charade to cover up U.S. war crimes or Allied war crimes during the war, and there's always a scapegoat, and I think I mentioned to you before about that nice Jewish gal who's in Israel, and she's a it was on the cusp of one of these videos of the $25 a basket of goods or something like that for Israel, and she says, I haven't received one shekel, not one shekel from the state of Israel. All my money comes from Germany, you know. And again, this is the financial bankrupting of Germany. So they're deindustrializing Germany. They're moving all those German industry things over to America. Maybe this is part of the Build Back Better. I don't know. And, of course, it's going to keep these wars going on because they're doing another naval exercise with the Philippines and stuff with South Korea and everything. Ramping this war up with China. The U.S. can't do business like everyone else. They've got to sanction countries and stuff, use the World Bank as a military arm like that, you know. It wasn't China's fault or Russia's fault or Iran's fault or anyone else's fault that the United States deindustrialized to grab that quick slave labor from the Indochina to have your shirts made in Malaysia. Air conditioners made in Mexico and stuff, cars made in Mexico, you know. They allowed the big corporations to do this, and now after they've deindustrialized everything, and I remember as a kid, we had strong unions, talk about Jimmy Hoffa, right? But anyway, we had strong unions, paid health care, overtime, sick leave, pregnancy leave, and we had a paid two-week vacation every year. And they destroyed our industry here, destroyed our jobs. Now most Americans have multiple part-time jobs at their work, and they still can't provide for their homes. I mean, they've destroyed everything, and they always want to point the finger at some other country like they're the problem. No, it's what Congress has allowed here through NAFTA and all these other treaties they've signed.
Mike, listen, let me call you back. I'm on the air. I'll call you as soon as I get free. Yeah. Bye.
Go on. Yeah, Keith, continue. Well,
so anyway, and now, since you said with the immigrants, what risk do they pose? Well, again, they want low-skilled workers. And I know that a lot of people are saying, well, you know, it's all the military age and stuff. Now, I even made a joke about that, too, because they're supposed to be opening up or closing schools across America to house immigrants. And I had put in there that School of America's video there, and I says all these schools would need would be bunks, and they could be training centers if they went that far like that. And I know there's a lot of talk about the feds buying all this guns and ammo and stuff like that. One thing I would say about that is that people should realize by now that this is not our government. It is a communist-ran government. They're pushing their Marxism ideas, their School of Frankfurt stuff on transgenderism and stuff. This is not the God Bless America stuff that we all grew up in. And as mentioned with you, you know, in your service, to where everyone says to a veteran, thank you for your service, you know. But this is not the country you fought for, right?
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
So we have we have immigrants being brought in by the millions to work this, and even Josh Hawley has mentioned that one of his videos about immigration, to where one of these in the undocumented portion of it, he cited that over 250,000 children, which are supposed to be accompanied by these immigrants, are actually working as slave labor. He didn't name the factories or something like that, you know. But they're getting away with it, and it seems like whenever they try to do enforcement that someone makes a phone call to remove those people because, for the time of their inspection of the building, whatever like that, because it's a $10,000 fine for having undocumented workers. And that's why there's such a push to get these guys registered for work.
They're using the kids as slave labor. What about the young men that are military age that look as though they're an army in waiting?
Well, that's what I said. Again, if they're opening up the schools and they're even talking about these office locations now where they're talking about this like communal living to where one floor they'll be made into apartments and they'll have like a centralized bathroom. It's just like a regular a business office, where you find a toilet thing on every floor,
Or a college dorm?
Yeah, college dorm, yeah. So, the point is, though, is there's such a vast amount of money going into that. That's what makes it nefarious to the point is why is there so much to take care of these immigrants with the $2,200 a month, the phones? We're being sold out. And it's this government that's doing it. So I wouldn't say it's like China's behind it or something like that. If China was behind it, that would mean the entire government's all ran by the Chinese. See, it's not. And the same thing with all this Russian collusion. They always make it look like the threat is from the outside, but it's not, because all the laws and stuff that are being passed, whether it's for voting like Garland and stuff, they're all being done here locally. And who's behind it? The tribe.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't know if you caught that last question I had. There doesn't seem to be a lot of anxiety shown about the massive Russian nuclear arsenal. Do you think we have sophisticated laser weapons that could take about, those Star Wars type scenarios where in fractions of a second, energy sent to destroy missiles? Do you think we have that?
No.
Not just in computerized games, but in fact?
No. I think you would ask Scott Bennett about that. I don't think so, because if you remember, these are predominantly hypersonic anymore, and they have that course that is not predictable. It doesn't fly in an arc, that matter of fact, if you watch like that Sarmat missile launch, it's launched, it goes up about 150, 200 feet, and then it's got little jets to turn it sideways and takes off sideways. Those can fly below the radar and stuff. You wouldn't even detect those. So if you're a satellite like that, you'd have to be looking specifically for heat signatures and stuff. You can imagine whatever computer program they'd have that would have to be able to detect something like that, and compare that with any volcanic activity or any else like that in the general area, like at fires or something like that. So what falsehoods would be out of that? So if you've got a missile that's traveling at 18,000 miles an hour or Mach, whatever it is like that, that's one thing. But if say you have a big boomer sitting off the Atlantic coast and it sends up a Sarmat or something like that, or an S-300 like that, by the time they detect it, the DC would be wiped out.
Yes. Okay. That's good, because I think that's all that's keeping civilization held together, is the Russians have the capacity to massively take out the West. I mean, and the idea we're being so provocative about it, that's like Judge Napolitano saying, or Colonel Wilkinson. He can't believe they'd be this stupid as to put to risk their nation, but that's exactly what they're doing because they are that stupid, or they are just pawns of the Khazarians, which I happen to think is probably the right explanation.
Well, I study the CIA a lot, and I always look at patterns and stuff. And one thing I've noticed there is you have to go back to the NS-68 doctrine there. Now, they've referred to Putin as KGB, Well, remember, under the 68 doctrine that came out at the same time, basically, that the CIA was switching over from the OSS, that the main goal of that, after they stabbed Stalin in the back right after Yalta there over in Crimea, was that the Soviet Union was now the enemy. And from that, they have made it so that any drive that the Soviets at the time were to push people into the sphere of Russian influence. And that way they'd have their eternal Satan to justify the arms buildup through the Pentagon of decades of hundreds of billions of dollars building up this massive military arm of the United States, which today is basically worthless when it looks at naval and stuff, because look at what the Houthis are doing over there in the Red Sea, you know. But all this money shows one thing, and that's why there was this fear that Russia has something to do with nukes in space or EMPs and stuff. You know, this is more fear and stuff of the Star Wars type stuff of Reagan's era, you know. But they want us in constant fear and stuff. But I would garner from, you know, they always talk about these Simpson cartoons about how accurate they are and stuff. But I would go back to the movie The Sum of All Fears, where you have these eccentric Nazis that are trying to drive the United States and Russia into war, and they use an Israeli nuke to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Keith so, Lab. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a Bond film, right?
Yeah. No. It's one of those. What the hell is it? Red October. What do you call it? It's Jack.
Orion.
Jack Ryan. Yeah, all Jack Ryan stuff, you know. And of course, the main theme of that was always keep a back channel open, you know. But there does seem like there are some sane people like that are trying to defuse all this stuff. But again, you've got these people that believe that Russia is going to expand and do this or that. And I sent that video on Twitter to you earlier, where Medvedev has rolled out the new map of Ukraine and stuff. And basically, what's left is going to be on the chopping block for Hungary and Poland.
And Romania, I think, because, you know, as Putin explained during his conversation with Tucker, Ukraine's an artificial state that included segments of Poland, of Romania, and of Hungary, which I believe if they have to take the all of Ukraine, which I believe they will return. We'll be right back with Keith Rogers after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeah, Jim, well, I got one more comment about immigration, too.
Sure.
You know, we constantly hear the bemoaning of these politicians talking about the fentanyl coming across the border and stuff like that. Well, remember, I'm a realist. Think back for decades of the Indochina opium wars, about what the United States and Britain did to Hong Kong and China and stuff. Think of the Golden Crescent, the Golden Triangle, what the CIA did throughout Laos, Cambodia and stuff, you know. The CIA's direct link to the cartels in Mexico. And, you know, we're always supposed to point to the other, you know, point to someone else like that, you know. But in fact, all this stuff has gone to, like, the Indochina Opium Wars is where the Forbes and those guys helped build the, Massachusetts. Remember all the Chinese that built the railroad systems here. And then after they got done using them, they did the Chinese Inclusion Act and threw them out. You know, it's like this country thinks that it's guilt free about what it's done in the world, you know, and now it's like when you hear about all the millions of immigrants coming up. Well, think of how all these countries feel as the U.S. invades their country, you know, showdown Iraq, invasion Iraq, stuff like that, you know. It's only when it happens to us that we're supposed to play a victim. And you're supposed to forget, like, immigrants would not be coming here unless there was the incentive or the fact that their countries were destroyed. So, you know, I get tired of this victimhood stuff like that when the main problem is the swamp back there in D.C. that profits off of this, as well as those politicians that, to enrich their stock portfolios, goes along with whatever it is to make sure that Raytheon or Northrop Grumman, all these guys are all facilitated to build arms and stuff, to have people like Nikki Haley, Newland, and Blinken talk about all the jobs stay here in America and stuff like that. Yeah, but you're part of the war machine then. Where's your conscience that whatever you're producing is killing people? One thing I never could understand from watching actual war footage is how a sweet, good Christian American boy could be thrown into a war, i.e. Japan, after the United States and the UK provoked that war with sanctions again. But to sit there and watch an American kid over there on some Pacific island using a flamethrower to burn some Japanese kid to death, you know, it just I could not understand how someone could be that vile to sit there with a flamethrower and burn someone else to death, you know.
Yes, 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 of course.
And just I sent that, you that, oh, I was going to say, I sent you that video of that Chinese artist who did that mural there of the airman that was getting deployed to Israel.
Right.
You know, so, you know, people all over the world, basically, what? They don't want war and stuff. It's what the governments are wanting, the bankers and stuff, because they have to take Russia down because it's a threat because of, it, of its independence. You'll notice that when Cuba was isolated, what was it, 1896, you had the American-Spanish War, and then in 56, whatever it was, you had the Cuban Revolution. Well, it's all these countries divesting from this empire colonial rule, just like it was in Vietnam. When people select their freedoms, well, the United States can't have that because they're the world power now, and they have to keep these countries underneath their thumb. And they do that by the sanctions and stuff, you know?
Yes, yes. By the way, I think we did cover the map about Ukraine and how it's all going to play out. I do believe Russia is forced to take all of Ukraine, and this nonsense of NATO intervening is just lunatic. Changing the focus ever so briefly, Scott Ritter is observing the U.S. Army's in a difficult situation after miscalculations in the Middle East. Let's listen to a part of this.
NATO has been the most important military alliance in the world. It's been the cornerstone of America's security. It's how we won the Cold War and defeated the Soviet Union.
That we're not prepared to fight right now, and frankly speaking, even if we took the months or years it took to get ready to fight, we can't guarantee victory. We can't tell you we're going to win this one. And Trump backed out. That same professional military council, of course, doesn't change with the new administration. It still exists. And I believe that Iran's case for being able to, A, withstand an American attack, and B, inflict significant harm on American assets in the region has only increased since that time. The military professionals know this, and I believe that they have counseled Joe Biden accordingly. I don't believe we're going to attack Iran.
The proximate reason for the attack that hasn't yet occurred was a strike on an American outpost, an outpost of an illegal base in Syria, for which there is no authority, no international legal authority, and a complete refusal to grant authority by the sovereign government of Syria. What were the Americans doing there, and who do you think struck them?
Well, you're absolutely right, first of all, to talk about the importance of differentiating between the American claim that these service members were at Tower 22, which is an adjunct to a larger Area 55 or Al-Qam garrison that's in Syria. Because we can't admit that if we were on Syrian soil, understand that nations that are illegally occupying territory have no inherent right of self-defense against those of whose territory they're illegally occupying. So the United States has made a false claim that we were on Jordanian soil. The Jordanian government, of course, said, no, that's not the case. The purpose of the American military presence there, and it's actually a coalition military presence. We have, I think, some Norwegian troops, and on occasion we rotate in other NATO or European troops, is the anti-Islamic State or anti-ISIS mission. But the United States itself acknowledges, the Pentagon acknowledges that Al-Qamf is not involved in that anymore, that has pretty much died down. What Al-Qamf does is provide training to local Syrian tribal elements, tribes, ironically, which had previously been loyal to ISIS, but are now working on behalf of the United States to destabilize the regime of Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So we are literally a terrorist operation on Syrian soil. And the people opposing us are the militias in Syria and Iraq who are against this ongoing illegal American presence on their soil and have opted to strike against America as a sign of protest over America's support of Israel's actions in Gaza. So they were struck by militias, some of which have been armed by Iran. Now, I find it hypocritical and indeed somewhat ironic that Joe Biden's
Telegram channel and be instantly informed about breaking news.
They interject commercials all the time. Scott Ritter is certainly making valuable points. The most important there right off the bat, that the U.S. is unlikely to attack Iran because Iran is in a position to withstand the assault and inflict significant damage on American assets in the region. You mentioned earlier about ISIS, which actually was created by the United States back in 2012 by Hillary Clinton, by John Brennan and Barack Obama. To create a terrorist army to rape and pillage and murder to undermine the democratically elected government of Syria headed by Bashar al-Assad. And now we have, you know, the continuation of ISIS elements, many of the members of whom sported U.S. Army tattoos in the beginning. I don't know how the recruitment has gone of late, but it appears there are no end of mercenaries willing to be paid to murder, rape, and pillage, Keith.
Yeah, well, again, this is where when your first question about any nuclear exchange with Russia and stuff, you notice how the media always downplays this with limited nuclear war. They try to make it sound like it's just so obscure. You know, I have that video from, I forget his name there. Anyway, he talks about being able to speed walk 5 miles an hour or hiding behind a lilac bush. That's how threatening nuclear war is, you know. So I could send you that video. It's funnier than hell. But anyway, it plays to the backdrop of what's going on in Hiroshima. Just like all these people say, well, nuclear weapons don't exist. When Robert McNamara talked about the 350 sorties they used just to bomb Tokyo alone to kill 100,000 people, you got to remember only one bomb was used to level Hiroshima or Nagasaki, you know. So they exist, you know, just like you see the Tsar bomb there that Russia did that they scaled back to, what was it, 50 megaton like that, you know. Those aren't fictitious bombs, you know. But on the cusp of that with Syria, as Mr. Ritter was talking about, think back to Hogan's Heroes, where Hogan, living in a German POW camp, with LeBeau, who was actually part of this so-called alleged Holocaust. But anyway, they went around as partisans and blew up everything that was there for the occupying forces of Germany. So that is no different than what we see throughout the Middle East, that the United States is an occupying force. And so they rename all these patriots for Iraq and Iran and stuff like that, you know. They rename them as insurgents, jihadists, and they try to make it look like the Americans are the victims of some terrorist attack, when in fact those countries, those people are protecting their own country from the illegal occupation.
Yes. Absolutely. We're the ones who are the bad guys.
Yeah.
It's beyond hypocritical. I mean, Scott Ritter has been doing a super job on all of this. I had a report the other day, and it seemed to be confirmed by an interview with the fake Joe Biden, that the U.S. was starting to drop food supplies to the Palestinians who are starving. But, you know, that would mean there had been such a revolt by the White House staff that Biden faced the alternative of their resigning en masse and embarrassing the White House or doing something to help the Palestinians saved from starvation. Frankly, I think it's too late. I think starvation, you know, you lose enough trace minerals. It happened with Karen Carpenter, whom I regard as the greatest untrained natural voice ever in popular music. She died because she kept avoiding eating, thinking she was too heavy when she was anorexic, and died as a consequence of the missing trace minerals. I think we're going to have hundreds of thousands, maybe 500,000 minimally Palestinians starve as a consequence of what's already been done.
Well, you omitted one thing. Yeah, you omitted one thing. It shows the U.S. dropping supplies. It shows Jordan dropping supplies. Some of them went into the ocean, which means they're contaminated with salt water that can't be used. But the fact is when they land, they're instantly targeted by the Israelis to run out there trying to grab it.
Yes. So, yes.
Oh, by the way, I was going to say, I don't know if you want to open up your phone lines a little bit earlier like that, but we always seem like we only get the last 30 minutes like that, but it's your show. But I was hoping one of the two mics would call in today. But anyway, that's what it is there. But see, that goes along with the idiot, the vice president, where she says that we need a ceasefire now. And then right at the end, she says, for like 6 weeks, and then it can continue again. See? So, and again, it's all contingent on what they keep calling hostages. Well, Bibi declared war, so they're prisoners of war, not hostages. And what I find really interesting about this is watching the videos from Russia to where they're in direct conflict with those Ukrainian Slav brothers of theirs, and one of them is injured, and the Russians will run out and grab the injured Ukrainian soldier and bring him back to a medic and stuff. They don't want these guys to die. They just want the war to end. But they
Russians,
keep pushing
yeah,
it, you know.
Russians, yeah.
And there was a video of a young Ukrainian boy that refused to be inscripted in the military. They beat him to death right there on camera.
God.
So, and I'm tired of hearing that bullshit line about war is hell, baby, you know.
Yeah.
But
by the way, here's a tweet from Douglas McGregor about the necessity to secure borders now. This is from Twitter. Very, very troubling. He says, we need to secure all our borders now. The southern border needs 70,000 to 80,000 troops there right now. We need to build the right barriers. We must change the way we do business. And there's a photograph here showing a massive, solid monstrosity approaching. I mean, this is unreal, Keith.
Jim, can I interject on that one?
Of course.
Okay. South America, you have all these NGOs, just like that one video you played, the last one there about that Jewish group there that was there making money off of it. We've got videos of the Zionist trucks down there in Latin America, Mexico and stuff. The point is where are these guys getting the information to download the DHS app onto their phone, which gives them directions of how to skirt immigration and stuff, how to get to the border, how to be picked up by DHS, taken to hospitals and stuff like that, you know. This is treason from all those like Merrick Garland, Mayorkas and stuff, and they talk about, oh, impeachment like that. No, they should be brought up on treason. This is why I believe that there should be no dual citizenship in the United States political system. Because either you're an American, it's just like when when Putin said, welcome to Russia. It's a multicultural nation. It's predominantly Orthodox Christian. However, he said, when you come to Russia, leave your baggage at the border, i.e. don't bring your damn Turkish flags or whatever like that. You know, once you're in Russia, you're Russian.
Yeah.
And that's the way it used to be here in America. I have a Czech friend who immigrated here from the Czech Republic. He had to learn English. He had to learn our constitution, everything like that, before he was even accepted as an American citizen.
Yes.
And now we're sitting there with a plethora of press, one for English and all this stuff like that, you know. But this is deliberately being done by this government. And if this government's doing it, it's not our government. It's treason.
Yes. Of course, of course, of course, of course. I've never seen a situation where the United States was in greater peril, and it's all because the government has turned on the American people. We're being destroyed by the government that's supposed to protect us using our own resources to benefit
and disarm us.
Yeah, and disarm us. I agree.
So, like I said, you know, first they came for the unvaxxed, and they went for the Palestinians or Russians. And I mean, now they're coming for us like that. And it's the only time that we feel threatened, as Douglas McGregor would say. Most people don't look outside the United States. It's only when it's on our borders that people finally realize what's going on. So they don't pay attention to the Middle East wars. They don't care about the Ukraine war and stuff. But suddenly our borders being infiltrated. And now they're starting to worry, because it means their jobs that are going to get undercut when they can't even pay their own mortgages or credit cards and stuff like that. You know. But again, this is all being done and financed by this government that's taking us down like that. So I don't see anything that's going to change unless we replace the entire government, you know.
Well, that's what elections are for. It's just scandalous that, you know, how we've been deprived of the right to select our leaders. I mean, by stealing the election, it's been the most fateful event in American history, the theft of the 2020 election. Bar none. Nothing comes remotely close to the
Well, I think that's why these judges have been ruling in Trump's favor there, because, like I said, with January 6th, this fake insurrection and stuff like that. You know, you have to think of these real insurrections in other countries where they bust down doors and they shoot people and stuff like that. And this was a peaceful protest there. It was only the feds that got involved there. Go into the Capitol, you know. They instigated everything, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was an FBI op. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the mayor of D.C. And I don't know if you, I mentioned before, even General Milley said he deliberately delayed a response directed by the commander in chief because he's a no-Trumper, you know. I mean, it's just ghastly. I mean, these
anyone that is got sexual issues is compromised. And that's why you can see that this administration has put every one of those, as well as having some Jewish boy in the Senate building having gay sex being filmed or whatever like that, you know. Every one of these guys have been compromised, blackmailed and stuff like that. That's how they're doing all this stuff. And then, of course, we have the Epstein files and stuff. Remember, I sent you the thing about the 1,160 CEOs that suddenly quit before the pandemic. They knew what was coming.
Yeah, we got a new story, by the way, from Zero Hedge. Gangs overrun Haiti's two largest prisons, freeing nearly 4,000 criminals as U.S. urges all Americans to exit. Where do you think those 4,000 criminals are going to go, Keith? They're going to come to the United States.
Go back to what Hillary created down there in Haiti.
Yes.
See, so again, don't blame the immigrants and stuff like that. Blame the policy that was put in place under Hillary Clinton. Her brother got, what, a half investment in some gold mine down there and stuff too, you know. But all this is, they go around destroying other countries and they have no place to go. Their economy is shot, everything like that. You know, the CIA, that's one of their main things, is to destroy the labor market, you know. But again, it's all being done to drive people into America like that. You can read that UN forced immigration PDF. It says by 2050, there would be 1 billion people here in America. And there's no infrastructure for it. None.
And of course, for those who are unaware, the U.S. population has been about 330 million. So we're talking about tripling the population, with the two-thirds the new members of America non-whites, to turn this into a white minority by considerable margin nation. And of course, the other estimate had to do with the Verdeagle projections, Keith, the U.S. would lose over 200 million citizens between 2020 and 2025. The population would drop from 330 million to, initially they said, 900 million. But there was a later revision now to 65 million. So you're talking about losing 250 million Americans in a five-year period. That's 50 million a year, boys and girls, 50 million a year. Where the hell are they supposed to go?
Well, again, look at the NSSM 200, which was Kissinger's documentary documented thing about the United States will require a vast amount of resources, and this implied the LDCs, lower developed countries, and this is all through Africa. That's why you see the great military buildup of the United States, and the U.S. just put five more bases in Somalia. Russia just put one in, I forget the name of that thing. But anyway, just put a base down there with 5,000 soldiers in it, and this is after this sweeping coup down there. So governments are being replaced. We have the thing with Nigeria, France, all this all being tied together. It's like Rommel's going to be on the Great Plains of Africa again with their tank battles. it doesn't make sense. There's videos now of the third Abrams tank getting blown up over there in Ukraine now. So that's great for a sales rep for the U.S. trying to sell these Abrams tanks, you know.
Yes. Well, they're going to destroy the equipment when it arrives, you know. The Russians know what the hell is going on. They're nobody's fool, and they're serious, and they have a real military. We have a fake military, and we have weapons that are worthless, deliberately designed with defects. They're following the Bill Gates model, you know, put out a software program with defects, so you constantly got to buy patches or new versions and make it necessity for you to use the new version because they'll no longer allow the old version to work. I mean, what a monster this guy is. And then, of course, he promotes genocide world, He says a great fear is not nuclear war, but pandemics, which he is participating in creating. It's outrageous.
Yeah, they had that one BSL lab right downtown. Was it Boston again or something like that? What is it with this fetish of all these BSL labs and stuff? I think what's going to happen, and we had Victoria Nuland when she was asked by Marco Rubio, were there U.S. bio labs in Ukraine? And she said, yes, you know. And it was always she didn't want it to fall in the hands of the Soviets. Now, see, she directly said Soviets, and today's Russia is not Soviet.
Right.
See? And Nikki Haley does the same thing, you know.
Hey, Keith, I'll be opening the lines for callers right after this break. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com. the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
There, Jim.
I'm here.
Stand by, Brian. Yes, we have been joined by a caller. The number is 608-957-8727. I repeat, 608-957-8727. Brian, you're almost the only one who seems to have figured out how to call. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I wanted to point something out that you missed when you did that inconvenient Truth Show with what's his name?
Gary King.
Gary King.
Yeah.
You remember the part where you were talking about Kelly Wong, the illegal alien or whatever that is now on the San Francisco Election Committee. Do you remember that segment?
Yeah.
Well, you missed the fact she was wearing an upside down cross. Okay. Which is a signifier. She's a Shabbat and Frankis. Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' supposed mate or whatever, also wears that. And as we know, June 6th of 1666, a lot of sixes there. That's when Rabbi Shabbat and Zevi showed up and said, you know, I'm the new Christ. I'm the Messiah. And that's why we got the London fire and a plague and everything else that went along with it. And then Jacob Frank, who was a founder of Shabbat and Frankism, said he was the reincarnation of him. So I don't doubt it. So she is a worshiper of the Antichrist in addition to everything else. So anyway,
she's going to fit their board of governors to a T.
Exactly. The other thing I found interesting that I found this week that I was not aware of is, are you familiar with that crest that the Ukrainian soldiers have all on their shoulder? It's this, you know, the crest for Ukraine or whatever. It's the exact symbol for ancient Khazaria, and it's also the symbol for Moloch. It's called the Moloch Sigil, and if you look at it, they're all the same. So they really like to advertise their you know, evil right out there in the open now.
Well, that's why, Brian, if you look, you need to read A Pale of Settlement, understand what the Soviet Republic of Bavaria was. Nikki Haley had referred to this not too long ago, where she tried to point to two individuals that were Soviets. But she didn't say was the fact that they were the one main instigators of the Bolsheviks that was behind the Holodomor. And that's where the Soviet Republic of Bavaria comes in the Forward.com article that 150,000 German Jews served as Nazis. This is where it's all related, because they switched sides under the Soviet Republic of Bavaria to avoid the Holocaust. because the Bolsheviks were so cruel and evil. Remember, they killed, what, 30 million, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and what's interesting, and you don't find anything about this, Stalin is not who they say he is,
right?
Because years ago they had the transcripts from the Moscow show trials, word for word on the internet. And I read those, and I was reading the one on the execution of a Commissar Kaganovich, I think was his name, and the prosecutor started out, "This is Comrade Kaganovich. He is responsible for the Holodomor in Poland or Ukraine, wherever it was, Ukraine." And then they said, "He is an agent of the City of London." Okay, right there in the trial. And that was my first awakening as to who Stalin was. So those show trials that they had in 36, 37, and 38 was Stalin getting rid of all the globalists that, you know, that were tied to Trotsky. And then, of course, he sent his man over and hacked Trotsky with an ice pick. So, you know, they don't tell you any of that stuff, or all of the Jews that Stalin eliminated right after World War II that were up to no good, and the doctor's plot. They don't tell you anything about what was really going on with the doctor's plot that ended up getting Stalin poisoned to death. So yeah. Anyway,
Brian, there's a PDF called The Sea of Blood. It came out in the early, mid-1920s. Where it talked about exactly what you're talking about here. But again, this is 1920s. This is all the buildup to World War II, the Holodomor, all that stuff. And behind it, in the very last, in one of the paragraphs, it says, "And behind all of this, where they wanted to kill the entire Aryan people, was the Bolsheviks."
Yeah, absolutely. And we're the Aryans.
Yeah.
So, and the Bolsheviks are basically the Neanderthals. You know, if you look at them, you look at Benjamin Netanyahu, so many of them, they all have the barrel chests, the short limbs, and the sloped forehead. Okay?
Israeli media now, is mocking him right now.
Huh?
Israeli media is mocking Bibi right now. They're running this milk commercial about how Bibi promised that if he's elected, he's going to lower the price of milk. And in fact, it's four times the cost right now.
Yeah. Well. They're no good. Yeah. One other thing I'd like to comment on real quick that I found really fascinating is I haven't called in because I was gone for a week to Charleston, South Carolina, which is one of the most dark places in the United States.
Were you visiting Instagram?
Well, no, I was doing energy work with some people because they have problems there. It's just really dark. Albert Pike did a lot of dark rituals there, and it's why the Civil War started there and whatnot. But I was with this girl who used to live with me, and she's got two young children. And I took the boy to this play thing in a mall where you spent $15 and he could go down those tunnels and do all that stuff kids like to do. And I could not believe how many mulattoes I saw. It was just blowing my mind how many mixed couples. Okay, I saw a tall black guy with a Neanderthal white woman and their kids. And I thought, now this is really a strange combination.
No, it's not. But if you Google happy white woman and go to images, you'll see that all the white women are with blacks, Latinos, and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then we went to an island off the coast of Charleston, and the woman that owned this mansion on this island, she was Chinese, married to like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, and they had six kids, and they were all mixed. And I understand why they do it, that people have no idea what they're doing there. And it ain't good.
Well, you got to remember, though, be a realist, though, because remember, whether it was Korea, Vietnam, Germany, war brides, that men would get over there and they would find out that the so-called enemy wasn't as bad as what they thought. and they would marry women from those local areas. Even MASH, the series MASH, I highlighted that with Radar, always trying to do paperwork for these war brides and stuff, you know. There's one thing to sit there and intentionally destroy a culture to make it that way compared to those people that are free to fall in love with whoever they want. And I guess that applies to the LGBT world too, you know. But it's when they deliberately destroy your culture. There's a video on YouTube called Depopulation Bomb. And in it, it talks about immigration, to where all these immigrants are coming into like areas of London and stuff. And because they come in, the local taverns and stuff have to close. The churches close is because it becomes offensive. And then suddenly you have the call of prayer and stuff being echoed from these old Catholic churches and stuff, you know. But this is all being deliberately done. And that's one thing that the social engineering, you mentioned Albert Pike. Remember when Antifa and BLM was going around destroying all these statues and government buildings, burning prowler cars and stuff, you know, that it, when they toppled the Albert Pike statue, that had to be restored.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was a Satanist, basically. And now, what if you study the Native American Indians, you get a sense of what they're doing with the mixed racial thing, is because when a baby was born to the Native Americans, the medicine man, the shaman for the tribe, same with the Inuits and the Eskimos, he would look at the baby and get its energy signature. Okay, and if he was a higher level consciousness and it worked through the DNA, he would be the next chief. Okay, they'd say, this one's our next chief, or this one's our next medicine man. His soul is powerful. Well, when you do what they're doing, it disrupts that process. So you don't have the possibility of high level leadership within the going. You know, the Aryans. That's basically what they're doing. And what's interesting is on Henry Mackau, they had the Aurigus Battalion, you know, Hitler, and before the Dark took over his movement, you know, they always worked from within. He was initially doing really good things. He had an SS battalion called the Aurigus Battalion that was shadowing a communist group in Ethiopia, Estonia, I think it was. And they caught them doing a evil ritual with a small boy. They unsanyangated him, where they string him up and they killed him. So they killed all these people. Geez, you guys need to be executed. And what the leader said before they were executed is, don't worry, in the future, we're going to breed you Amalek out of existence.
Yeah, well,
his words.
There's a lot of implied racism, which is one thing I try to diffuse here. Like, you remember the song Buffalo Soldiers? A lot of people didn't catch on to what that was, but that was where the French, because of racism within the U.S. Army, they wouldn't associate with the blacks. And so they got detailed over to France and actually won so many awards like that, you know. But they try to infer that blacks are somehow less IQ and stuff. No, it's they're destroying the education. Look at what they're doing. They're dropping the SAT test, all this stuff, you know. They're deliberately doing this to make people look dumb so that they have to become, well, it's part of this communist collectivism stuff, so that you're always a ward of the state. And, of course, the vaccines and stuff that cause autism and all the stuff is another deliberate thing, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And I found a trove of letters from a black guy in France in 1917, 18, whenever he was there. And you cannot believe how elegant his writing was, because
right.
Our education system then was not what it is today. So, yeah. And see, to me, to be racial prejudice, it's actually a good thing, because it doesn't imply you hate that race. All it means is you're protecting your DNA.
Well,
you're protecting your race, and they should protect theirs. So, you know, love the black people, but I'm prejudiced.
Put two and two together about the dumbing down of the education system, the massive hordes of migrants who don't even speak English. What happens to the public schools? You got these massive numbers of migrants. They're going to be totally remedial. They're going to be doing English as a second language. Can you imagine the expense to the community for these schools to absorb millions of migrants who have no educational background appropriate thereto? I mean, what a calamity. That's just one minor dimension. I mean, the criminality, the lack of housing. I think when they're talking about these empty houses, Keith, they're going to put those migrants in there. You got the governor of Michigan suggesting take a migrant into your home. Can you imagine the calamity that happens if you take migrants into your home? My God.
Well, again, you know, you used to be the king of your household. You imagine having a foreigner move in there. Everyone has set things that they do around their own home and stuff, and then that's where you call it a home invasion, I guess. But again, though, this is all being manipulated. It's socially doing that to break up our way of life. I mentioned the closing of schools all over to house these so-called immigrants, but the trial thing was during COVID, because in the very same article, it talks about how children will be better taught online with Zoom and stuff like that. Or again, see, now you're taking their social stuff apart to where you can drive through any middle city and see whites, blacks, Hispanics all playing basketball together and stuff like that. There's no racism and stuff, but they make it that way to where they alienate you, the 6 feet, you know, social distancing. Everything is social being manipulated here to keep driving us apart. And it's because they don't want us to unite.
Yes.
Well, I think.
Go ahead.
I think what they're doing is they're creating the next Tartaria. Okay. Tartaria. Yeah. If you look at the textbooks from the 1850s, the history books, they had Tartaria in our American textbooks with maps of it, the flags of it, everything, and now it doesn't exist. And they're doing the same thing to us. That's why you don't have the statues. You have all these people coming in here that are illiterate and everything else, and they control the public education. You know, within how many years will the United States of America cease to exist in the textbooks of the future?
Yeah. Like I say, oh, destroy a culture. You blend everyone in. This is all under equity, tolerance. I mean, it's totally stupid. Remember the early immigrants that came from Germany and stuff? Well, most of them, they opened up their own shops. They had the pizza shops, the Chinese, you know, and people freely went and solicited those places to eat and everything like that. You know, there was no implied racism, but I'm trying to think of the. It goes back to World War II, to where a lot of the Germans that had got drafted actually changed sides. And at the end of the war, the U.S. basically told the Soviets then to keep them. And it probably put in the gulag and killed or something like that, you know. But we see this today where there's U.S. soldiers over in Russia fighting on the side of Russia because they know which side is right.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was younger, I think I would do it.
I would probably too.
Yeah.
But every time you see it, they're
probably
calling out
Marines over there.
they're calling out Christianity and stuff like that. There's a few rabbi quotes about how they'll drive the Arabs and the Muslims, the Christians and the Muslims together to war, because basically then we can kill each other. Well, that's what's been going on in the Middle East here for three decades now. Did Saddam ever do anything to us? Has Ayatollah ever done, you know, has Putin ever done anything to us, you know? Has China ever done anything to us? Has Kim over there in North Korea? No. See, they got to keep us on constant edge to facilitate the needs of what commerce is, so that the World Bank of Settlements and stuff like that can sit there and use their monetary force to keep these countries at bay so that they don't in any way threaten the U.S. commerce.
What it reminds me of is David Icke. You know, he talks about the Dracos, the aliens that really control this place. But what he says, and it's just so true, the only purpose of this place is to cause discord, bad energy that they harvest. And yeah. You think about it, that's what they do everywhere, you know, throughout history. It's just causing a lot of bad energy through death, whatever, and that's what they harvest. And that's yeah. how I look at this world.
Well,
there's no other.
This is referred to as Murder Inc. You know, 25 million have been killed in my lifetime that I can count. That's 25 times the population of Montana. You know, and another thing with Jim here, you know, Jim's into these school shootings and other shootings and stuff. And whenever they do that stuff on the news, it's like, oh, it's how tragic like that. I think to myself, well, is that tragic compared to using a U.S. bomb to drop it on a school or a hospital over in Gaza? You know, we're back to that American exceptionalism. It only matters when an American gets hurt. Well, what about the 500,000 Iraqi children that were starved to death? What about the anguish in those families, you know?
You make great points, Keith. And Brian, I've just been delighted with your call today. You're making so many wonderful points. I don't think we have to go to Dracos or ETs to recognize a huge threat to humanity that exists now on planet Earth. It is all explicable in terms of the Rothschild, the Zionism, and the racism, the anti-white racism. Brian, did you observe my point that the Zionist Jews are the greatest racists the world has ever known because they believe the other races only exist to serve the Jews and that they're entitled to lie, steal, cheat, rape, and murder the non-Jews, the Gentiles, for their own sake because they are the chosen people?
Jim,
I know you're agnostic there, but remember, the original covenant with the nation of Israel was conditional. It was based upon the word if you keep my commandments. And because they didn't, it came out with the new commandments. And in that, it says that there's neither Greek, Jew, nor Gentile. So everyone is an Israeli if you serve God and through his son, Christ Jesus. That's the way the Bible reads it. And there's no such thing as a chosen people.
Well, the point I'm making is they believe themselves and regard themselves as and treats others as inferior, as subordinate, as it only exists to serve the Jew. Keith, how can you get more explicit than that? And the protocols are very, very clear about what they're doing here and what's happening to America and the rest of the world. I mean, you know... It's just staggering.
Yeah, you can go to Times of Israel or any of that stuff. Israel is the least religious country in the world. Least religious. Most are atheists. Most admittedly worship Moloch.
Right.
That's probably why they want to go home to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently the Rothschilds aren't willing for Ukraine to lose the war, and that's why I think we may be in for it yet. We haven't escaped. Russia's basically won, but they're not going to accept it, so I think we're in for it.
Yeah, I believe you on that there too, Jim. That's why Nuland said that Putin is going to get a surprise.
Oh, she said that.
Yeah.
And what's your inference? What is the form of the surprise? An all-out nuclear attack on Russia?
Well, remember what Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson said. It won't be Russia that'll use a nuke first. It'll be the United States. This is where I referred earlier to the Sum of All Fears movie, is where you have these eccentric Nazis from World War II left over in Ukraine, by the way.
Yes.
That received an Israeli bomb. And they used Boston, I think it was, as the theater of that, where they stadium was set up there in the vending machine, you know.
Sure.
And Jack Ryan was there to the rescue again, like that.
Of course.
You know?
Give Zelensky nukes and let's see what happens. That's right. That's how they're going to play it out. Brian, I'm really pleased with your call today, Keith. You've been absolutely super. Each of you give us a final thought, Brian first.
Well, I the ones that scare me the most are these Shabbat Levudovich people. And that was that's who Trump has joined that cult. That just scares me to death. They're for killing everybody but like 600,000 pure Jews. So anyway, yeah. That's my final thought.
All right, my final thought is, under UN Declaration of Human Rights, Article 19, anyone that calls for a genocide is guilty of it if that genocide does indeed take place. And we see this right now, to where these rabbis and these radical, call them radical Jews, whatever you want, like that, you know, that are openly calling for the eradication of the Palestinians. And of course, anyone that supports it, now they said that anyone that flies the Palestinian flag is Hamas. So that entails the entire world, whether it's through Malaysia, where millions are rising up, stuff like that. These are all considered as Hamas. So is this going to be part of a Samson option?
Yeah. Wow.
Hug your dog. Time is short.
Yes. Well, I'm concluding every one of my shows, whether here on Revolution Radio or RBN. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And when Victoria Nuland says Putin's in for a surprise, you can take her words to the bank. She had been in the background in sabotage and subterfuge and disgusting events like the taking out of the Nord Stream and the coup in Ukraine and, fostering conflict worldwide. This is one of the worst people on the face of Earth today, sad to say, and she's in a position to manipulate outcomes. And I'm very, very concerned when she makes an observation like that.
Yeah. Well, like Aleister Crook said there, they want to build the third temple, but they don't have a high priest from the tribe of Levi, and they can't do that because of the DNA was all destroyed, but they destroyed the libraries back then.
Kate, thanks. Brian, thanks. Excellent.
Revolution Radio.
Join me in the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.